You are listening to Plot Blunders, the comedy podcast where we try to guess the plot of a movie we have never seen. My name is Barry Walsh.
My name is Pat Sunderland.
And we have a very special guest with us.
Returning guest alert. Returning guest alert. I was saying you have a very special guest. And I was going,
We have a regular
guest. Not special guest alert.
The returning comedian Nick White. Oh, wait, Nick White.
Alex. Alex.
Oh, my God. Let me get that guy.
Nick White was a guy who went to my school. I haven't said his name in years.
Oh my God.
Returning guest, comedian Alex White. Thank you for coming.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. I'm sorry that Nick White couldn't be here.
Now we have to keep it.
I relish any opportunity to make you seem like a
problem. Yeah, no, Pat edits this, but he only edits himself sounding like an idiot. And then any time that I've bumbled, I've had to like ask Pat, hey, do you reckon we could take that part out where I bumble the guest's name?
The cutting room floor is entirely me saying shit that I've made up in my head. Like, I think Tesla cars have an engine and you said they don't. We disagree.
Yeah.
Turns out you're right.
Yeah, right. You grilled me for ages on that. The whole episode about Tesla, they definitely have engines. And I'm like, I just drove with someone who owned a Tesla who told me they didn't have an engine.
Well, it's important that no one ever hears that original audio. Alex, what film are we talking about today?
We're doing Twins.
Twins, Basil. What made you decide to,
Oh, hang on. Before you get it, this is a listener suggestion.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah, sorry. Alex is kindly, once again, taking on a listener suggestion.
Yes.
So, we had a listener send in a whole bunch of movies suggestions.
Yes, that's
right. And this was at the top of the list.
Thank you to Sanchez.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Sanchez, for sending in that list of movies. We're not very creative people, so we're going to be running through that list. So I hope you
Them through. We always send now we kind of send a guest like the list of movies that like people have suggested.
Yeah.
So you haven't seen Twins?
No, I think it was one of the only ones on the list that I hadn't seen. So I was very excited about it. But it's a old enough movie that I definitely have not seen it, but I'm aware of it.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, it's sort of what it's written on the tin. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know how this could be the most easy episode ever. Or I was thinking about it, right? Because Twins,
it's much like Spy Kids, actually.
Yeah,
which is the last one.
Yeah,
right.
I was trying to win Block Blunders every week. To go to the grand final. There is a grand final, right?
Let's set out for Alex's next episode, Salmon Fishing in the Yemen.
Snakes on the plane. Now, let's think about this. Yeah, and I was like, this will, you know, honestly was the only one I hadn't seen, and I'm like, that's cool, let's do that, I'm happy to go with that. But I was like, oh, this is easy, Twins. But then I realized, actually, you think about the movie, the process of making or pitching Twins, is someone sat down and said, here's the movie idea, it's Danny DeVito, and it's Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they're twins. And the producer's like, how much money do you need?
That's all.
Don't tell
me anymore.
There's no need. Anything from that point on is a movie, right? Like, anything could happen, and it's a movie. Whereas, right? The only thing.
The executives just start having panic attacks at the table, thinking about how much money
they're
about to make.
They're gonna, all the tax they're going to have to pay. They're like, how we do this. The only thing that would get a yes quick would be Arnold Schwarzenegger. Pregnant man, or Arnold Schwarzenegger, kindergarten teacher, right? Like, it's like they were on a run in the 80s.
This was Lucy, my partner Lucy was immediately like, was this the movie where Arnold Schwarzenegger was pregnant? And I was no, I don't think so.
These are running through the quintessential conflicts of story, you know, man versus nature, man versus man versus, you know, society.
Man versus twin.
Arnold Schwarzenegger as a beating up kids. Arnold Schwarzenegger is a tiny twin. Arnold Schwarzenegger, but he's pregnant.
So what did you know about this movie? Like, obviously, you know that Arnold Schwarzenegger's in it. You know that Danny DeVito's in it. You know that they're twins.
Yes.
Is there anything else that came to the surface just from the top?
Not concretely. As I was thinking about what the plot would be, there were things that popped into my head very quickly that I'm not sure if I just put the pieces together or they were in the cultural zeitgeist that I have absorbed over the years. One of them was something about like there was like a science, like some sort of like they were twins because of a sciencey experiment.
Oh, yeah.
But I wasn't sure if that was because I was getting it mixed up with Junior. where it is a son, like Junior. Well, that's the one
that's
where he's pregnant.
He's a pregnant.
He's a pregnant. Okay. He's, Arnold's pregnant because it's that's a son. That's not like a.
That didn't happen naturally?
No. It's not very, very forefront, like trans. trans sort of movie.
It's well ahead of its time, this movie.
It's just a straight, like, a female to male trans person having a baby with no comedy aspects at all.
Incredibly dramatic, yeah.
No, so I was like, I think there's something sciencey about it. Uh-huh. And I maybe have seen bit, but like, I don't know. Nothing more than that that really pops into my head.
Yeah.
As far as the plot, it's just twins.
I think what you said before about you get the premise and they're like money, and then and I think the people making this movie maybe came to the same realization, which is, all right, you've got the premise, and then it's like, well, now there needs to be something that can sustain.
We need 85 more minutes. Yeah.
We need to hire like 7 writers.
And just by you saying the title of this movie, the first 7 minutes of the film have popped into my head.
Yeah.
Shot for shot, perfect.
Yeah.
But now I need.
They got the yes on twins, and then like went to the Bahamas for 5 months, and then were like, oh fuck,
yeah. The movie's gonna write itself. It's like, oh really? What happened?
They're twins, goddammit.
Sort of thing. You're giving up of a million gags. You need some direction to push the gag story.
That's exactly right. So but I was like, it's funny, like, so I was looking at the difference between these, because I don't think Schwarzenegger, I think this was his first comedy, I think.
Yeah, okay.
I think
I was going to ask if you followed the Schwarzenegger
I did watch the Schwarzenegger documentary on Netflix recently. I don't know if you've seen it. It's real red hot. It's really good.
Yeah.
Very, just the craziest life. Like, this
it was really intense, because I know he had the bodybuilding thing, and he made a shitload of money in real estate or something.
And he was a governor of California.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, he's had a wild trajectory.
He's had a wild life, but he, it was just like this, just bodybuilding guy, just crushed that for years, and then he was doing action movies, but he's just one of those guys that always wants to, I think, challenge himself. So he was he was just the action star. He wasn't like he'd faded and he needed a new direction and he started doing comedies. He was like, I want to do comedies now.
Yeah.
And so they were like, fuck, okay, I guess we'll, like, you know, you're
the terrifying experience of being Arnold Schwarzenegger's agent.
Yeah.
Arnie, baby, what are you doing to me?
I want to get into winter sports. Yeah, whatever you say.
I'm doing improv now.
Yeah. I'm going to be the governor of California.
I'm teaching at second
school. Give me a suggestion.
The agents, they're like, baby, I just don't think you've got it in you.
No,
and every time he's like,
what about Terminator 3? Have you thought about the $100 million we'll each make if you do a third Terminator in the 90s?
That's too easy. A new improv technique, which wasn't yes and, but sure, anything you say.
Sign your name on the fucking contract and let's do it.
Each thing he does, he like finishes. You know, like, he was a bodybuilder, the best that anyone's seen.
Yeah.
Still,
yeah.
Everyone talks about it. He was in action movies.
Yeah.
Everyone still wants him in the action. Everything he does, he's like,
he's left.
I
him
did
wanting.
That.
I checked it. He crushed it. Left him wanting. And like, he was governor of California. He would have been president if he was a natural citizen. Like, he couldn't be president. He couldn't run.
Oh, you know, he was trying to work.
He would have. Oh yeah.
Come on.
And he would have, like, I mean, when in this documentary, like, he was at the end of his, like, he was popular, but he was a Republican, you know, governor of California, which is becoming at that point Democratic and stuff like that. But like, effectively, the trajectory was top job in the world if it wasn't for this legislation.
If it wasn't for literally like
a line in the constitution,
the next,
or whatever.
He's working on governor of the world.
One. And they would have, like the accent, the whatever, no one would have cared. It would have, you know, they would have all voted for him. But
he somehow completely disassociated a heavy Austrian accent from being foreign. It just became like it was Christopher Walken, like he talked, but he was an American.
You don't think of him as German, like obviously Austrian, but you don't think of him in that the German sphere of the world. You just think he's got a weird silly voice. Like it's Gilbert Godfrey, or it's like it's such an amazing thing. So then they've got him, and then I don't know, like Danny DeVito is like another guy who is like so typecast. And so when I started thinking about this movie, not typecast is probably the wrong word, but it's correct, but it's like he's never the romantic lead, you know what I mean? He's always the sort of gristly little, like, whatever. He works with what he's got.
Yeah, right? Of course. Yes. And do you know how tall Danny DeVito is?
He's 4'7".
Yeah, 4'7".
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Wait,
don't ask me why I know that. I'm sorry, Barry knew that.
First film-related fact you've ever said on the show.
Can you edit that out, actually? I'd appreciate it for Barry's sake that people weren't like, Barry knows the height of every short actor.
Barry's eyes rolled back into his skull. Yeah. Pulled out a notebook from his pocket and immediately
he said 4'7". It just says Danny DeVito 4'7". And like everyone. No, I just listened to a podcast where they talked about it.
Can't remember your birthday, but it's like I've got to store all these heights of everyone in my brain.
I can't remember like the director of the movie Avatar. But I can remember that.
Danny DeVito was 4'7".
You're like working Memento, but you've just got a bunch of family factories.
I don't know how tall Arnold Schwarzenegger is. I guess 6'3".
Yeah, that was the other thing. There's controversy about Schwarzenegger's height because I was like,
he wears lifts.
He's listed as 6'2", like as in like that's what people say. But then there's other people saying he's 6 foot at best, potentially 5'11" now, and he wears heel lifts and stuff. But everyone was also like, there's bodybuilding photos where he's like, he's on his feet. Bare feet.
But those feet
are next to other guys. Yeah. You know, he's not like, so.
But that's calf injection.
Yeah.
He's just
on his tippy toes.
Yeah, is he on two toes spread out? Yeah, super strong.
I don't know, but they're saying this anywhere in that range. But I always thought him as big at like tall. Like, he's obviously enormous.
Well, they put him against Danny DeVito.
That's right. So I was like, because they are ridiculous. And Danny DeVito also. Because I was like, I didn't know he has an actual medical condition. What's so short?
I actually only found this out recently as well.
Oh, it's called something else now. Is that
realm? I don't know.
Okay,
I'm not being like being sensitive. No,
I don't know the name of it.
But I also just thought, I always thought Danny DeVito. I don't know why, but he was always placed in my mind as the shortest a person could be without.
That's exactly my thought. He was on the border, right?
But then I learned that no, he did have some. He has some condition that he was born with. It's just why he's a bit short.
I think I looked it up and it was something that just made his bones smaller. So everything else is proportional and everything. And he just his legs just grew this much shorter than everything else.
Yeah.
So he's 4'7", which is just unreal short.
It's very short.
It's very, very short. So, I mean, there you go. Like, there's no way, if one of them pulls out of this movie, you can't make the movie.
Yeah.
No, you can't do it with someone who's 5'5".
Like if they had signed Schwarzenegger on, DeVito must have been negotiating the hell out of
Imagine the position you're in, you know? Like, what, you're going to do the movie Twins without me?
Yeah. You're going to have to cast a child actor. You're
100%. Harry Joel Osment or something like that. Whatever the error is.
You're going to hope Fred Savage put him in here. Like.
So putting that together, I was like, this is perfect. Perfect movie, perfect like plot setup, and Ivan Reitman's the director too.
And like Hollywood,
comedy guy. I think I've got because he.
Yeah, here we go. I was looking forward to it.
Well, I'd love it, but it's not. It's
Alan's
basically
unfolding a sheet of paper.
Yeah. Well, I was like, because the last episode we did. What was his name?
Rodriguez.
And he had that
filmography.
But I mean, Reitman, it's pure. It's just hit after hit in that era. Like he did.
Hang on. Are you suggesting the last that wasn't hit after hit?
He's a one-trick pony though, Reitman. He's not doing kids movies and then like slasher horrors. He's going pure slapsticky comedies like Meatballs, Stripes.
You've seen Stripes?
Yeah,
Meatballs is not cloudy the chance.
Meatballs, but Bill Murray, Stripes. He did Ghostbusters as well, right?
Straight after that. And then he did a movie called Legal Eagles, which I can only imagine is, Dolph Lundgren as a lawyer or something. I don't know.
It's twins, but they're lawyers.
It's medically combined with an eagle.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Half eagle, half lawyer.
I object. I found some mice at the back of the courtroom.
You're like, can we break? then Twins comes out, and then Ghostbusters 2, Kindergarten Cop. He does Junior as well.
Kindergarten Cop? Great.
And he clearly just was into, like, I can make this giant, incredible, sculpted from bronze Austrian man do whatever the hell I want.
Is that another Arnold movie? I've not seen Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah.
You haven't seen
that. That sounds great.
Yeah.
I love that.
We should block one with Kindergarten Cop right now with Barry.
Holy shit.
Shut up, Alex. Here we go.
All right, he's a kindergarten teacher. Junior, and then it sort of dribbles off towards the end, and he hasn't really... he might have passed away, actually, but he's... But he's son... Jason Reitman is a director too, and he did a bunch of
takes the mantle.
But yeah, what a run! Like that's 5 to 6 of the biggest, and I say biggest, most iconic '80s comedy slapstick sort of. Comedy.
I think Ghostbusters alone on that Ghostbusters list would sell someone else's career.
And I know this is a trite observation at this point, but it's crazy that they're doing these very sort of sincere Ghostbusters sequels now. When are we going to see a twin sequel that is like, it's been 30 years since the twins initiative.
Twins with, but it's about global warming as well or something like that.
That somehow Ghostbusters got plucked out of these, you know, all sort of iconic 80s comedies, but all we would all accept dumb. No one's been like, let's make
a strike. There's a silly movie about catching ghosts.
And which had a fucking song. Had a theme song. No movie with a theme song is worth revisiting.
No, the Bustin' Makes Me Feel Good.
I used to do kids' parties, I once had to go to a Ghostbusters themed party. I had to go as Bill Murray's character.
It was the most awkward party. Only the birthday boy knew or had seen Ghostbusters.
When was this?
This was in 2013, 2014. Yeah. So one kid, super stoked about the party. Every other kid was like, I don't know who you are. I don't know why you're being so like apathetic towards everything.
You're channeling Bill Murray's character. Yeah. You're like hitting on all the mums.
Ignoring
the kids. Totally.
I'm just throwing like a bouncy ball around.
Just with a vacuum cleaner. Just running around.
Getting dust everywhere.
Just sucking up kids' lollies.
Yeah. I did see that Ivan Reitman, Ghostbusters, directed, produced, but then notes. It has a voice role. He did the voice role for Zool. Do you remember Zool?
Oh, man. Which is pretty good.
But then, less impressive, he also did the voice role for Slimer.
Which is, you know...
That was a candid recording at the craft services table.
They're like, oh, we need someone to, you know, dribble on about... And then Reitman's like, I think I know the direction of this movie, how to do the...
I'm not paying an actor to come in and do these fucking mouth voices.
They did a nationwide casting call for Slimer, and they just couldn't get it right.
No one can do it like Reitman.
Direction for that. No, more tongue.
And this was, and Twins was written by the guys who did, I think, Kindergarten Cop and Junior. So it's, this was the start of, Twins was the
they
first.
They had a method of writing. Yeah.
Very much like they knew how to butter their bread.
These guys were sitting at home with a stack of scripts written for a incredibly built Austrian bodybuilding star, and they're like, we're never going to sell these.
Yeah.
Wait, what's that on the TV?
Wait, turn that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Twins. I mean, you guys have both seen it, right?
Yeah. I was rewatching again this morning, reliving the glory of that movie.
This movie has bad ratings. I did not expect it to have such bad ratings.
I didn't really.
It's a classic. Like, obviously, if you're a movie critic in the '80s and this film has just come out, you're not giving it a glory.
But I'm talking 55 on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm talking five on Google.
I think after 10 years, there should be.
Like wipe it from the record.
Either wipe it or have a sort of like two different Rotten Tomato scores, time of release and in retrospect.
The nostalgic tomato.
Of course.
They should have a disclaimer like they do for those racist Looney Tunes cartoons. Should make a different time. Except for what it is. But here's and this doesn't spoil anything for your plot, but a tidbit that I learned about the movie this morning is that both Schwarzenegger and DeVito cut a deal with this movie. Rather than taking your usual deal as an actor, which is a flat fee for your performance, they decided to share between them 40% of the film's profits.
Wow.
And so this movie is by a fair margin both DeVito's and Schwarzenegger's most profitable movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's the most money they ever made.
Which must mean it's an insane amount of money. Like, yeah, because well, Schwarzenegger, how much is Schwarzenegger getting to appear in those Terminator movies later on?
Yeah, of course.
Come on.
Well, you think
about the first Terminator one, he was a bodybuilder and he didn't, he had two words or something like that. Yeah. So they probably, and he would have just gone long vision and they said, here's 10 grand, right? I imagine. But then he's such a smart guy that he gets to this point and he's like, I've done the big Hollywood blockbusters and got paid measly amount because they just go, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be a hit. And imagine the confidence of that. You've never done a comedy. Mm. You may look like a complete fool, but I want 40%.
The concept that you're hanging your hat on is your twins with Danny DeVito.
That's it.
That's what we
haven't read past page two.
We'll write each day script on the day of shooting and just go from there.
$216 million at the box office on a budget of $18 million.
Whoa.
Also,
a budget of $18 million too.
So much. I mean, I don't even know how they spent $18 million. That doesn't include the salary, as you say. That's coming out of the prop. You know what I mean? Like,
that's 80% just feeding Schwarzenegger.
That would actually be like the crew fees and stuff.
Bare minimum. You can't get out of bed for that in Hollywood for 20 million.
That must hurt to be like, our whole crew is like 18 million is what it costs, and then these two walk away with hundreds of millions of dollars.
$40 million each, $80 million, 40% split between them. That's
crazy. It's a shitload of money, and that's 80s money, you know? That's like, that was trillions of dollars.
That's trillions with inflation. So I went into thinking very little about it. As I said, some of the plot maybe I've absorbed in the zeitgeist, because some of the things I'm like, maybe this would happen. I'm like, I don't know if that's come to me too quickly.
But I could be. That's the thing with this, where you think like, oh, I've done such a great job, and then you're like, oh no, like I think I watched like a scene of this movie on a TV in a bus depot or something.
I reckon there must be. You must. I must get this a bunch, but there's movies when it's just like you've never sat down and watched it end to end, but with Simpsons references and cultural tropes, and you just could almost piece it together. This wasn't like that for me, but it was certainly like in that realm.
That was kind of the catalyst for the pod, like those movies where you're like, I'm so sure I've heard it enough to talk about it.
I remember when I was watching Rain Man and I was like, I have, like, when I watched it, I knew I'd never seen it before, but I was like guessing each scene as it comes, just from millions of like watching shitty 80s stand-ups like their first time on this talk show.
Imagine making Rain Man jokes on like a late night
I have a thing where I don't know if you do this with like partners or friends or whatever, but whenever I'm watching a movie and I've never seen, I try to predict.
Oh yeah, I'm going for it.
Oh yeah.
And it can't be fun to sit next to me watching. Because not only do I then, this will happen, this will happen.
Yeah.
If it pays off, I'm dancing around. I told you that, and it's like, we're just watching a movie. I did it the other day with my wife. We're watching like this TV show, like Shogun, which is like it's great. It's really good. But I called something in episode like 2.
Yeah.
And episode 5 that comes to fruition.
That's the dream.
I was like, I said to her like almost verbatim, you're not giving me enough credit for what just happened. Like, I literally paused it and I'm like, do you remember what I said?
Do you remember what we talked about 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago. And it happened like across three, like on my and then this will happen. And she was like, She was like, yes, I know, but I don't care. It doesn't.
It's the only way I enjoy these things.
Because
I'm not watching the movie.
No,
I'm picking
up meant at it. You're like, I know this guy's hard.
I'm picking it apart. Yeah. That's what I'm doing.
And the other thing is, if I'm wrong, I'm very quiet about it as well.
I'm like, well, ultimately it's impossible to know.
Didn't you say that was going to happen?
I pivot hard if I'm wrong. That's what they should have done.
This is not a prediction, it's a forecast.
Reading the clouds,
this is the most likely thing to happen.
That's right.
They just knew I was going to predict it, and so they changed it.
Or you get amped and you're like, well, it's a good show now. It's good.
Barry, I think we need a bit of 80s music to launch us into the plot.
Man, I was not expecting this.
Well,
He's not trying to come up with... I thought you were trying to come up with something. But I was, yeah.
Well, I need you to incorporate the Latin flavour of that sort of salsa.
Silent jazz or something like that.
That's it, yeah. Well, they're the beats and the audience can guess what I was going to sing.
That's it. Okay. And because I'm allowed to have the cast list, right? That was a rule.
Oh,
so
we actually changed that rule. Yes.
Oh, did you really? No, oh, good. Because I would be cheating. So unsurprisingly, Arnold and Danny played characters Julius Benedict and Vincent Benedict. So sounds like they're related somehow.
Maybe some
father and son. Father and son, distant cousins. I'm thinking that this movie is, and another clue that I had was, there's a Mary Ann Benedict, who I imagine then must be the mum, because there's a, and I love this, a child, like young Mary Ann Benedict, uncredited by Heather Graham, actually.
Yeah, that was a funny, so, I noticed that.
So in my mind, Heather Graham is delivering these babies, or she's, you know, giving birth to them. So I'm thinking, the plot of this is obviously the twins, right? Mm. But the plot is, I think it'd be less funny if they're just twins who just grow up together. Because also there doesn't seem to be a lot of like young Julius, and like I don't think they're, in my head, they're not like at school as kids, right?
And at this stage, I feel like there just needs to be some sort of reason why one of them has a very strong German accent.
Yeah. That's, well, I didn't even put that together, but that is so true.
Like, that's, I think this is still the era where they would have to at least put something towards explaining
they, that. What Alex didn't know is they did the same thing that they did the Darth Vader in the movie, is where the actor acted all of Darth Vader and they dubbed him.
Well, I actually thought Danny DeVito was just putting on a German accent. Well,
that would be so great. Danny DeVito just does Arnold Schwarzenegger
some Italian German I think the movie, I think the setup of the plot or whatever is that she's obviously given birth to twins, and either because one's enormous and one's little or some other young mum problems with raising them, they get separated at birth. There's some sort of foster adoption situation, and
so you think you're in this one, you're saying she puts them up for adoption,
something along those lines, something like the mum is can't take care of them, or I mean
she wasn't expecting twins.
But the other thing was, I was thinking, this is where the science experiment thing comes in. I'm like, is this just a freak? I don't think this is just a freak difference in size. I think there's some reason, rationale for it. And I was like, is that a, you know, and this was the like late 80s, you know, obviously with Junior, this is all like the invert, you know, IVF and genetic engineering and all that stuff. Yeah. I think it's like, is almost, it's
kind of captured the public's
mind in enough where it's like a moot, like maybe it's not actually happening yet properly in the real world, but enough that movies are making plots around it, right?
Yeah, the late 80s was still a time where they thought 2000 was going to be like flying cars.
And babies that can shoot lasers.
Which is like, you know, science is close.
Yeah, we're getting there. Fingers crossed one day.
So far we've got babies who can like turn on and off a TV.
Infrared. All we need to start putting is that Neuralink into the babies, into the baby as they're born.
And I do have a Kickstarter for that, actually. I have to
pay for a lot of chimp burials, so I can really use some
storage. Neuralink baby is where I just fucking leave. I leave life.
When I lose my job to a Neuralink baby, it's still a baby, but it's got like, it's like a full body.
It's a hive mind of babies.
Yeah, exactly.
Just make it a robot. Like, what do we have to do? Just a robot. Babies involved.
You hired 17 babies linked via Neuralink.
Yeah,
they do a great job.
So I think there's some sort of genetic. Some sort of thing where the babies come out and then, they're either like, you can't take care of them. Like, well, this is some experiment.
This is an experiment.
We're going to split them up to see. I think there was also like, I don't know if it was at that time, but there definitely was, because I read about it like a lot at some point in the 80s or 90s, there was a real life scenario where the people were taking twins that were born and separating them to raise them separately to see how they would,
that nature versus nurture, right?
To, like pure, and then they
They did this all the time. They also, they were obsessed in the 80s and like earlier on in seeing if they could get monkeys and chimps and stuff to be humans.
It was like,
They raised chimps in university.
This is Barry, just watching a Looney Tunes cartoon.
No, this is where
there was a monkey.
You guys are like such fools when I get there wrong.
You're mistaking the plot of the Ronald Reagan film Bedtime for Bonzo.
No, you are thinking that they based that off of fiction when it's actually that they were basing it off reality.
You are batting zero. The opposite.
Who at the start of the recording just admitted that Teslas don't have an engine and I was right about that?
I think that was you. I think if we listen back after my edits,
I'll tell you. I'll tell you right now, listeners, go and look up all the crazy experiments. They brought up chimps too.
That was definitely more a Pat being stupid than you being a genius, though. And knowing that Teslas don't have engines. You're like, this is a predictor of the Tesla.
Oh, man.
You want to come back on this fucking Get on board real quick.
So they
like doing crazy shit.
Yes, I think that's the setup. It's they get split up in some way. Like, I think it's some sciencey thing. The mum's like, no, I don't want to, you know, give me our babies back, but they steal them away from her. And I think then they get raised, as you say, it makes a lot more sense. I didn't even think about that. Arnold gets raised in Germany or something like that. It makes sense with the accent. Danny gets raised, you know, in wherever and wherever it's set. And I think that the kickoff of the plot is that they don't know that they are brothers. And and to me, it's funnier for Arnold to want to find Danny than Danny want to find Arnold. That makes more sense, right?
Assuming they're kind of comedic persona.
Persona, Arnold, and I also think I've seen a clip where he's, you know, and it just makes a lot more sense for him not to be the top, to be like a little dweeb as a 6'3" giant man, and to be a bit more, you know, neat and you know, straight and the straight guy sort of thing.
He's the neat one, so
that to me, and Danny's the
it just wouldn't make sense to see the rippling muscles of Arnold Schwarzenegger and be like, this guy's a slob.
It seemed to be that would be like, neat freak. This guy's been maintaining a beautiful horseshoe ball pattern for like fucking the entire time he's been in the public persona.
So I think that Arnold's like comes to America, obviously, and he's like, I've got to find my brother.
It's just like coming to America.
Coming to America, exactly the same. And he, looks him up. Somehow he finds out that I've got this brother, and then it's perfect comedic scene where it's like, I am your brother, you know, and then he's just like this much taller than him, and you know, Danny's like, you know, what? This is not.
Yeah.
This doesn't make any sense. That sort of clash,
and,
right?
And this is the kind of moment where watching this movie, it made me think if this movie was made like maybe 5 years earlier, it definitely would have been a black guy and a white guy. And it's so close. And you can almost read like an earlier version of a screenplay where it was that.
It was
Richard Pryor and it was Gene Wilder and they were playing black guy and a white guy. Twin brothers.
Well, it could have been Schwarzenegger and Gary Coleman or something.
That was their backup.
If Danny doesn't play ball, we got Gary and we got another element.
Just put the thumb screws on.
Yeah, that's right. So, and I think, you know, somehow it's like, you know, I am your brother. And this is, you know, this sets off the hijink. And I think, as I said, there's, you know, my mind of this movie is very little setup like that. And then just a bunch of hijinks after this, right?
Yeah, classic.
Classic hijinks.
Run through as many scenarios as possible.
Silly little scenarios. And I think Danny's character, my reading of it is that Arnold really wants his family, he wants his brother, and he's really keen on this. Danny's more and again, maybe it's just his typecast or maybe it's just how I think about Danny DeVito, but he's always looking for a buck or an advantage. He's like, I've got this big guy now, and now how do I take advantage of this thing? Yeah. I don't think he's like, let's get to know each other. That's my...
I essentially now have like a golem at my beck and call.
That's
like,
right.
He will follow my commands and will do anything
else. 100%. And what can we do? And then I think... there's also, which I love, is there's a bunch of other character sets here. Kelly Preston and Chloe Webb play Marnie Mason and Linda Mason. There's got to be sisters, and they're top of the billing. as after Arnold and Danny.
Yeah.
They've got to be sisters. They've got to pursue these girls.
Yeah, it's right? Got to be a double
yeah,
date.
Yeah, it's got to be a double date situation.
That's the second thing you think of after you do the twins with the dollar sign instead of the S.
And yeah,
I'm surprised they didn't also get the girls to be twins. Like, that's...
Well,
we don't know that, but...
Oh.
Alex is...
Well, I do know that I...
Putting together
the that would be crazy.
I Googled, because I know Kelly Press, I've seen her, but I don't know who Chloe Webb is, and I'm like, is this a... Like one giant woman, short woman thing, you know, which is hilarious if they mix them up too.
Yeah,
Danny with the tall woman, Arnold with the little one.
It's a missed opportunity.
Just to clear my name, Neem Chimpsky, November 1973 to 2000, was a chimpanzee and the subject of an extended study of animal language acquisition.
Yeah.
It's lived with students on campus. Raised by the students. Surrogate parents had a human child of their own. They raised them next to each other to see if they develop language. Y'all can suck my fucking dick.
Gary, your problem is that you how you said it is they were trying to get chimps to become people.
Yeah. No, they had an orangutan. They did it with lots of different
animals. No, I
believe you. I believe you. But
and
I,
a lot of the
studies said they're trying to get chimps to learn language skills. But become people is trick the world to.
So
think,
they used to give it coke and let it smoke cigarettes because they wanted to be, anyway. They wanted to be. And listen to go and listen to the top. All right.
I see what you're saying.
They wanted it to be as human-like as. In order to see if the language would develop.
I would say next time couch it in less Pinocchio-like terms.
Yes.
How about you go, that's fine. This happens all the time. I bring up something very interesting. Yeah. Very true.
I'm sorry, mate. This is a consequence of I've been trying to raise you to become a chimp. So part of that is questioning your intellect and be like, oh, man, you're not hungry.
The only one I'll take back is the stingrays and sharks thing. That's
but you're sticking to the brace position in airplanes that's designed to kill people.
No, What I will say about that is that was misinformation.
Okay.
That used to be a well accepted fact in quotation marks, but it's now being disproven.
I apologize for peddling misinformation.
Yeah, thank you.
Alright.
That's all getting cut out, by the way.
Last we heard of Barry and his monkey theory, it was in.
This is the last anyone hears of Pat or you. Blocked on the solo from this moment on.
Oh, man.
Where I just talk about films I haven't seen.
So I think that there's a double date. There's got to be a bit of we can get girls with this and that. And I think there's all sorts of other characters in here that. You know, leads to the hijinks era of this sort of movie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Characters like chop shop owner, Hollywood biker, cop. Like, there's got to be some sort of. I think there's got to be a scene where Danny's like, it's like. If you mess with me, you got to mess with my brother.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then someone's like, your brother, oh, I'm scared of your brother. And then here comes the brother.
Yeah.
In a pub or a bar or something, pool shark thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, that to me, there's a bunch of hijinks like that.
Mm.
But boxing thing.
Yes. But pushing the plot along, and I don't really know, because again, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
I just kept being who cares?
You can feel that energy from this movie.
This is a 90-minute long Saturday Night Live sketch.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But I do think there's, the only thing I thought to bring this home is they've got to meet the mum, right?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if Danny was still in contact with the mum and Arnold went to Germany and then he had to meet the mum too, or they both didn't know the mum and they both had to meet the mum. But there's a meeting.
What are you thinking? Choose one now.
I think that they... from a plot point of view, I would think that they both get split up and they both meet the mum. But, so I'm going to go with that. Although the mum in the cast list is pretty high, so I'm like, she's earlier on in the movie, or she's got maybe she's got a strong role or something in the movie from that point on. But I think there's we meet you, but then it's like, well, then what happens there? And the only thing I could think of, and I don't think this would be what happens because it seems to, I don't know, but
anything could happen to this movie.
Anything could happen. But I think there's some, drive maybe to find the dad. Is the only thing I could think of as a way to progress it further, because that if they if the point was finding the mum wouldn't be in my mind right at the top of the cast list, right? Uh-huh. So I think it's like, let's find our dad. Yeah, that's my theory. Yeah, that's my thing. Yeah. But that, I think there's some driver to like, let's find something about our past together.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Why? Like, what, how are we?
How are we? Yes.
How does this matter?
How did we get like.
And it brings them something, it gives them like a common goal, right? Yes. Otherwise, if it's like, this person needs this and the other person just wants to meet his brother, it's like.
If they just want to get with these two girls and then that's yeah. like. That's yeah. okay?
Yeah.
You sure? You know what I mean? We're both dating girls and then yeah. we just settle down. And...
That's the plot. That's the plot of a slightly different movie called Eskimo Brothers.
Yeah.
What happened if this tall guy and this short guy both had sex with the same lady?
And I think, to add a little bit more to it, this is, I think that Arnold's really keen on this, and Danny, he just wants the hijinks to continue. He doesn't really care for it. Well, he's just like, who cares? I want to keep up these hijinky lives things. And why is he obsessed with finding his... Because I think there's a point in this... Where, however it happens, I think there's a point where Danny, you know that very, very common movie plot thing where there's two characters where one of them will do something midway through the movie that, you know, like, that they lie to the other person about something or they do something to stitch them up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they do it, like, with sort of good intentions but sort of selfish intentions and then it comes out later on. It's like, how could you have done this to me?
Yeah, exactly. You watched the whole movie being like, all right, when are we going to get
when
to
when are we
going to
get to the letter he wrote or the
oh,
theme?
You knew where our mum was the whole time.
That's
or
right.
You know,
that is a lot of the reason why I don't watch a lot of movies. That specific technique frustrates me because I see it so early.
Yeah.
It's a very artificial way to create conflict without, actually be.
And,
the
only good thing about it is, like, I guess soon the movie ends.
But it's so, because you say, because, like, one that always sticks in my head, which is it's the whole movie, is have you seen She's All That? And it's a very, but basically it's a nerdy girl and a jock guy, and the jock guy's friends dare him as a joke.
Classic.
To take her to the prom.
Yeah.
And then she has a glow up and she looks really pretty, and then he really falls for her, and the whole time you're like, she's gonna find out this was a dare.
Yeah.
The whole movie.
Yeah.
Which you're like, as you say, Barry, you're sitting there like, I hate this, but then you're like, what's the movie otherwise? They just together forever.
It's not a movie that exists. It's bad writing.
He's 60 years old and they're being married for 30 years and he's just sitting there like,
what about a better plot where the plot isn't, or what if he didn't want to fuck and then he did.
Then his idiot friend says, oh, you only took her out as a dare.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Like, what? And that, to me, that whatever that device is called in movie writing, I'm like, I think Danny and Arnold have that.
Yeah.
And the thing I was thinking of was, Arnold, again, they're looking for the dad, and Danny doesn't want the dad. He's like, this is gonna, you know, this will be bad, this is not fun. And so Danny writes Arnold a letter as the dad. I don't want anything to do with you. Something like that.
I like this.
You know, like, you know, looking for me, because I think it's maybe some sort of like, the mum getting pregnant was like a donor situation, so it's not like the mum and dad had any relationship. That, to me, makes somewhat sense.
Yeah.
And I think then Arnold's like upset, and he's like, I've always wanted to find my father and my parents or whatever. And then, you know, that sort of fizzles out as in his mind about how to, you know, oh, well, I guess I don't really want to find him anymore.
Yeah.
Right? And Danny's then got the tension of,
I'll focus on being a good boyfriend.
That's right. And keeping up with my hijinks.
And so then that's the arc of the movie, is that then there comes a point where Schwarzenegger finds out, DeVito is there, and as a conciliatory gesture, DeVito says, all right, I'm sorry for lying.
Yes.
Let's find Papa.
That's exactly right. Either Danny, like Arnold's like not himself anymore. He's, you know, like dragging his feet, and he's, the hijinks aren't as fun. And, and maybe one of the girls or the mum, maybe, Marianne, sort of let slip that something in the letter wasn't exactly true, you know, like to give a hint that this was all a fake sort of situation.
He always dots his eyes with a heart.
Yes, exactly. 100%. The man that impregnated me with a sperm sample 30 years ago, I remember his handwriting.
I loved him. He's not literate, man.
Your father, I've got to tell you this, your father was actually a chimp that went out dressed up as a human.
He could have been far more cigarette burns on that.
He couldn't possibly have written that letter. I haven't taught him English yet. so then they go to, and there is a characters in this. So I don't know who the bad guy is. The only one I could think of would be there's a Webster and there's a Beetroot McKinley. And then there's an Al Greco and a Granger. Oh, that was the other thing I saw was, and I couldn't piece it together, but there is a lot of Klein brothers. There's a Bert Klein, a Bob Klein, and a Morris Klein.
Mm.
And then later on, there's a Sam Klein and a Dave Klein.
Yeah.
So I was
rival twins.
I was thinking that there's sort of like... and there's also a I think there was a judge. Was there a judge? Maybe I was wrong about that. But there was some sort of oh no, they're in prison. They go to prison at one point, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
do you think they both go to prison?
I think that's funny. I think that's funny to both go to prison. Who gets the top? Who gets the top bunk? Yeah. The bottom bunk? I want the top.
Danny DeVito takes that of like you pick a fight with the toughest guy in prison the first day, but that's his twin brother.
Yeah, he pretends.
They're like, you're gonna punch me.
They're trying to recruit Artie into the white supremacist gang. Yeah. And my brother come too though. And he's white.
They're neo-Nazis. He's just Nazi. He's a German. I'm old school. You guys are too cutting edge. So I think there's some sort of like finding out, and there's got to be a bad guy. I don't like to me. I think there's some sort of bad guy, and it maybe is somebody who like was arranged these experiments and doesn't want the truth to come out about the babies impregnating multiple twins, and then they find out about they somehow get information together to be like, okay, like we've got to find our dad and we've got to get the information. This guy knows the information and he won't give it out.
Yeah.
And there's all these other Klein brothers out of the room. I just keep thinking about Klein brothers flying.
The Klein brothers are the security team.
Yeah. It's all happy to be but I think there's some resolution at the end where they come together and you know, they plead their case to this guy, we just want to meet our father, and then they meet the dad. Or And yeah, that I don't know how to stick the landing, but I think there's something there where it's like, it's all about family. And Danny has a moment where the whole time he's sort of been taking for granted, or maybe taking advantage of Arnold as a brother, as like, this is my latest toy.
Yeah.
And then there's a moment where he has to come to be like, no, he's a brother, he's family. I'm bonded to him and I'm going to stick up for him, and I'm going to, you know, this is important for us. And he, like, does that to get...
He gets an opportunity to sell him to the circus as a strong
That's
man.
Right.
Like millions, but gives it up. And
that's
like,
right.
He's my brother, I can't do that.
Is that a redeeming quality?
A spec script of like, you know, movie inside a movie, where it's like, you guys should be in twins, but you'd have to, you know... So, no, I can't do it. He's my brother. But that's it. And I think the endings... I don't know the details, but there's something to do with that, where there's a final thing and that the family comes together in some way at the end.
Yeah.
It's about...
They all hug and it goes circled, like the screen blacks from the edges into it with a very circle.
And then right at the end, the last scene, the coda is Arnold, and he's taking a... He's going to the toilet and he pisses, but he's... He pisses accidentally on a pregnancy test.
Yeah.
And then it turns two lines and he's pregnant. Because I think Danny DeVito's
a
Ginger too, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's on that. I haven't seen Ginger, but I'm pretty sure the poster is DeVito listening in on that big bag.
Yeah, that's very cute. So that's the end of the movie.
Oh,
there you go. Very good.
Pretty good.
Comedically speaking, You're obviously like, you know what's funny about this pair.
Yeah.
You've got all this sort of like the comedic beats of the movie.
Yes, definitely.
Right? The dynamic of it.
Arnold going to him, finding him, that's right.
The of mice and men sort of big dumb guy.
Yeah, big dumb German guy in a
street smart sort of dodgy one.
Definitely.
You're completely right. The plot, the actual beats of the plot are a bit different.
You were so close on a couple of things.
But just because this movie throws in
insane
the most
shit.
Random
yeah.
shit into
it. It's literally, as we've all said, it's like they picked literally anything to be the plot, and then the whole movie's actually about them being
twins. Hit me with it, I'm very keen.
Yeah, so we start off with, you're right about the science experiment thing, because the beginning thing, we have this narration by this doctor who is describing this experiment done to create the perfect human.
They basically impregnate a woman with, what, 7 guys, different DNA?
Yeah, they make a sperm cocktail of 7 dudes, all genetically perfect in some way, whether
smart or strong
or whatever,
gotcha.
And all jumble up and put it inside Heather Graham.
Yeah.
That's the
that's another movie,
the best language I could but something strange happened with the experiment, and we had twins.
Yeah.
And it's real perfect baby casting here, because they've gotten the biggest baby they could find and the smallest baby they could find.
They're like a newborn against the one-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. You really tell which one becomes which. And then it cuts to, and then
if this movie was made now, they would have like edited Arnold's like fucking muscle
gap teeth.
But the weird thing is that we never really learn why this experiment was being done. Because the scientist then goes on to say, I took Julius, the perfect child, with me to live on an island with me until he was 35, and he was just like, he was just sort of this scientist slave.
Like, yeah, he just becomes like, you're the perfect specimen, but he knows nothing about the outside world.
So he raises him on this island, teaches him philosophy and martial arts and everything about how to become the perfect person,
right.
But he just lives alone on this island in the South Pacific with this German scientist.
Gotcha. So he's not from Germany and then
not
and
necessarily
grown up in normal life.
I guess
he's
meant to be American but just grew up with this German scientist.
Cool.
Anyways, the narration then goes on to say he turned 35 and I told him that, hey, you've got a twin brother. I never told you, you've got a twin brother. But as far as he knows, the mother died in childbirth.
Which is fucked, because they later on they also find out that they told her that the children died. Like, that was the
So it is sort of then trying to find the mum more than
the dad.
They do learn that you've got seven dads. Like, you're part of this. Julius at least knows that he was part of this experiment that, you know. Anyways, so he goes, you've got a brother that lives in America.
Gotcha.
And Julius goes, well, I want to find him. I love my family. And it's exactly what you said.
Yeah.
He's excited by the prospect of having a family.
Gotcha.
So he goes to find his brother. Meanwhile, Danny DeVito's character was just sent off to an orphanage, told that his mother was alive but gave him up.
Yeah, he was told a completely fucked story.
It's a bit confusing. And we learn, and as Julius tries to track down his brother, we start to learn the backstory of Danny DeVito, which is, goes to an orphanage, gets raised by nuns, fucks one of the nuns while Danny DeVito's like a child, seduces one of the nuns, gets the nuns kicked out, he gets kicked out of the orphanage, grows up on the main streets of like LA, becomes a small
and he is that like scrap, yeah, exactly.
Scrappy.
They show the old mother superior's like, well, he disgraced one of the nuns and seduced her, and then shows a picture of him as a straight up child looking up at this hot nun. It's like, we don't call that seduction.
I love that nuns are like completely celibate and they, you know, give their life, but they're like a weird little child. With a bit of riz about it, a bit of charm, and they're like, "Oh, I can't."
It's also it's this time where that's not rape, like.
One thing that this movie is so determined to establish is that Danny DeVito fucks like nothing else. Like, when we first see him. He is cheating on someone. He's like sleeping with someone while their husband comes home, and he has to crawl out the, you know.
These are all part of Danny's requirements when he signed on.
Exactly.
It's like, I just want to make some edits to the film.
If I'm going
to
be the shitty small twin, I fuck good.
You have to make it that I fuck.
Which is actually, so when they go and meet the dad to like find out more about the mum, I think it is.
One of the dads.
Well, or even I think it's the scientist behind the project. It's something like that. It's one of the dads or something.
Oh, I see
it's,
what you're talking about.
Yeah, and he's the scientist reveals, he's like, we had the perfect child of everything, and then looks at Danny, is like, and then you kind of squirmed out.
Yeah.
You
there's a reveal.
Filthy, just the bad that was left over went into you.
There is a reveal halfway through the movie that is like, all the dominant genes that got expressed in Schwarzenegger, all the recessive genes were expressed in DeVito.
Gotcha.
Which is to say, everything we selected for, you got the terrible, you're every bad bit of humanity. And they do that as a reveal halfway through, when you're like, no, that's what I assumed.
Yeah, it didn't mean that.
But I saw
part,
the two
like
of them walking together, and you kind of assumed that if he was going to be the perfect human genetically expressive, then you
So would. Was Danny like an idiot? Or is he...
No.
I didn't play
so
that.
The whole thing is just that he is...
physically
he's but even so they still like
morally
like Schwarzenegger's character is like a master of like philosophy and logic and everything, so it's more of a thing of like he got all the best schooling and he's got all the best genes, and Danny DeVito is a scrapper, like he has a scrapper, so he's not like he's
straight
smart whereas Schwarzenegger is completely naive, and that's the sort of element that he's got over Schwarzenegger. So it's exactly as you described. Schwarzenegger arrives, runs into Danny DeVito, who's in jail when he finds him.
That's the jail.
Unpaid, and he gets Schwarzenegger to bail him out, and then he gets him to help him because he's in a lot of debt to some loan sharks.
Starts using him.
Shark, and those are the Klein brothers.
They're unrelated to their experiment. They're actually just brothers.
Of the plot that's about them being twins, you got it right, except they're trying to track down the mother. DeVito doesn't want to find the mother, but Schwarzenegger eventually convinces him, etc. All those parts are right. Yeah. But what you got wrong is there is an entirely unrelated plot attached to it. So, which is that DeVito's, and this will sound elaborate and confusing because it is. So DeVito is in debt to these Klein brothers. And at one point, one of them shows up to enforce the debt. Schwarzenegger beats him up. DeVito says almost word for word your line about my, if you deal with me, you deal with my brother. Exactly that.
Yeah, perfect.
But one of the things DeVito, one of the scams DeVito pulls is that he steals cars from an airport long-term parking garage and sells them. Gotcha. And that's how he gets his money. And then at one point, he steals a car that is being parked there as part of a deal between... So what happened... It's a case of corporate espionage. These guys who work at this car company have parked this car that has a new prototype fuel injector engine in the boot of the car.
And it's a Tesla.
And they parked the car there so that this Mr. Webster secret agent, a very dodgy guy, can then take the car and deliver it for a $5 million payoff. They leave the instructions in the car for this Mr. Webster. So when DeVito steals the car to sell it, he finds the fuel injector in the back and this cassette tape saying, "Hey, Mr. Webster, we don't know what you look like, but you need to deliver this to this location for a $5 million payoff." So we also have this element in that runs into it, which is, I need to deliver this fuel injector thing pretending to be Mr. Webster so I can get this massive payoff. Oh, but our mum also lives on the way, so Schwarzenegger convinces him to stop in to visit the mum while they're doing it. At the same time, Mr. Webster is killing everyone who knows about this job that's gone wrong and needs to track them down and kill them to get the fuel injector thing.
There's a... What's the movie reference? There's a movie reference for just like an object.
A MacGuffin.
MacGuffin.
Yeah.
So there's things in MacGuffin.
They throw a MacGuffin there for some reason. Your plot was perfectly adequate.
Yeah.
But they were clearly like, no, I want
to... We need to stretch this out.
Well, they needed the scene. There's a scene where Arnold Schwarzenegger learns how to drive a car by reading the manual in the, like, in the seat next to Danny. So they needed that scene.
He learns how to drive straight away. So
he's like pointing with his finger and Danny DeVito's like, "What are you doing with your fingers?" "I'm learning to drive."
Yeah, so he's kind of like a Terminator.
He's Terminator meets Rain Man.
I think it's a thing where they didn't trust... The one thing that they didn't trust is to be like, we know this is a movie action star guy, we need to put a bit of action in
there.
I think it's basically what they felt like they
had.
So every other element of it was right there. They have these two girls who are sisters that they date, and one of them falls in, is already in love with DeVito at the start of the film, the other falls in love with Schwarzenegger. I don't know if the DeVito sister feels hard done by.
She loves DeVito.
She does. Anyway, so the movie then goes on with, like, the elements are like how you described, except with this other element into it. So they end up...
And then I guess, like, the only thing that kind of you hadn't mentioned that is such a big part about twin mythos... is they develop twin telepathy.
Of course.
So they establish, and there is no mention that this has anything to do with the science experiment.
This is twin shit.
Just because they're twins. The amount of times that they put in this movie where Schwarzenegger goes, "Oh, your car's parked over there." And he goes, "How did you know that?" And he goes, "We're twins." And they learn to read each other's mind. And it, like, pays off.
It saves the day.
It pays off in the final confrontation with the dude who's got a gun trained on them. And DeVito's like, to, like, transmit to Schwarzenegger, drop this heavy chain on him. And they kill the bad guy. And all I'll say about the plot is that when they kill the bad guy, which is they're in this warehouse, and they drop a chain.
I know, it was going to bring it up as well.
A big chain on the bad guy to kill him. And he pulls the lever and the chain falls. And then they have this shot of the chain continuing to pile up on this dude. And it lasts so long. Like, a baffling amount of time.
Piled.
It's like a full 8 seconds longer than you think it should last. This chain going... And you're like, yeah, this dude's dead. Like, they made you know
and
this guy is dead.
And then Danny drops a fantastic line. Something like, "I guess he had a lot on his mind," or something like that. It's a terrible line.
Great line. Again, they were like, this is an action movie line. that they throw at
him. Yeah. I thought it would be like something about that was a funny chain of events.
Yeah. That's better.
And
Arnold does say, I'll be back at one point.
I guess we have to give a rating, right?
Yeah.
Do we give it out of two twins?
Yeah.
I feel like that's a too small a number.
I think that's 1.75 twins.
Yeah, I actually think I'd also give you 1.75.
The spirit of this movie, you got it completely right. You got you got lines word for word. And the most correct you were, which is when you were like, there's a bunch of Klein brothers, I guess they're in it at some point. That's exactly what happened. There's a bunch of Klein brothers that are just in it for a bit.
Yeah.
They at some point become the henchmen of the guy who's chasing them to kill them. It's dumb. It's very silly.
Yeah. Perfect. You'll have to keep trying to guess the plot of things as you watch them to your wife, because it's working.
Yeah. If you're watching this movie with your wife, you would have said that at one point he's going to say, you mess with me, you mess with my brother. You would have been doing a circuit around the room.
I know.
The car thing might have thrown you.
If you had said at the start, there's going to be a fuel injector engine prototype that could have massive reverberations in the industry.
Yeah, we
have. Well, I could watch that with my wife and go, I've never seen this movie, but I know the plot in my back of my head, and I can just predict it.
This is why you're perfect for this podcast. You've been preparing for this.
We just need more ADHD people.
Out of the park. Again, it was the exact same thing with Spy Kids.
Yeah.
You had the spirit of that movie so perfect, you just didn't add in like a Willy Wonka type villain to the movie.
That's right.
Every movie has got this one shit that just like some coked up executive is like, this would be great.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, like I said, it's one of those movies where you just, it's paying by numbers once you get the set up.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's just always one curveball.
Yeah.
All right, now, tell us a bit about Community Notice Board.
Oh, yes.
And also you have a show coming.
Yeah, I've got lots of stuff
going on. Community Notice Board, both you boys been on it, a lot of fun.
Go on the Smart Podcast.
But follow the Patreon.
I'm just
adding on to you, Mom.
Yeah. We got a Patreon now. We do fun stuff. We're actually doing very fun things soon. Because we've been doing, we get guests on, we do the suburbs or where they're from or whatever. And then when we have some repeat guests, we sort of do a holiday destination or something.
Yeah.
We branch out into a little bit. But we're getting into some fun territories now. We actually have, and on Patreon, we're getting a bit looser and a bit funner.
Yeah.
We're going to have an episode with I don't know if Jack Wright's been on your pod or not.
Oh, no,
Jack would be perfect for this, by the way.
We've wanted to for sure.
He'll come with notes. He's a very prepared young man. But we had a thing where basically the premise is Jack reckons he can eat 100 oysters
in 10 minutes.
Right? So he's like, you there's no amount
such
of oysters.
A 10 minutes.
He goes, he says, there's no amount of oysters. You will not buy enough oysters for
you
me.
You won't buy enough
so,
oysters.
So we're going to do an episode on competitive eating with Jack Wright.
He's
and then he's going to, in the Patreon, we're going to make him eat 100 oysters in we're going to have 150.
Yeah.
And then we're just going to see how many he can do in 60 minutes, Jack.
Jesus.
And so we're having a lot of fun like that on the Patreon. And it's going to be really
fun.
You
want to eat those oysters quick because you don't want to be eating the hour long oysters.
I know.
Still out.
Well, I actually, as part of it, I got in touch with Australia's number one competitive eater. And I had a chat to him. And he's number 5 in the world.
Yeah.
Like,
he beat
you know, Joey Chestnuts?
He beat
him in a chicken winging contest.
Oh,
recently. Wow. So this guy, and I talked to him about it, and his words, he's like, I would never do oysters. Like,
he's like, this is the
worst in competitive in the world.
I was going to say, we'll try and get Jack on as a guest before he dies of, like,
that's right. I actually started worrying, like, is this okay?
How many oysters can you eat? And then you're Googling, like, what's a safe amount of oysters?
It's going to be so much fun. So, but normally the pod, like I said, we do a deep dive on people. We're expanding communities to be, like, all sorts of communities. Like,
competitive
community. This sort of community.
Oh, interesting. That's a really cool angle for you guys.
Yeah. So there's all sorts of different communities, but we just basically get people on to talk about, growing up in that community or being belong from the community. We have a bunch of research and stuff that we do. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Very silly pod.
It is
the Patreon, we're really having a lot of fun with that and it's great. So if you like the normal pod, get in the Patreon.
Yeah, and if a lot of guests overlap with us as well. A lot of the really great comedians we've had on. But you've also got some...
There's
shows.
A bunch of crossover, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing Melbourne Comedy Fest and I'm doing Sydney Comedy Fest this year with my own solo show.
Hell yeah.
I'm really pumped, really excited. I don't know when this will come out, but...
Couple of weeks.
So my Melbourne show starts 5th of April all the way to the 20th. of April. So I'm doing heaps of shows.
Nice.
It's called Don't We Look Stupid. It's a It's really I'm really, really happy with it. So the premise of the show is that like when my grandma died a couple of years ago, she just had all these hundreds of photos, albums of all us growing up, and we just went through them all. And there's just so many ridiculous photos of me and my friends and all that growing up.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a really good through line for just basic sort of a lot of my stand up bits, right? Like, you know, bits about sort of. So, and it's really fun, it's really silly. And yeah, I like did it at Fringe, did a couple of shows, really got it sorted. And now the show I'm super pumped about. Getting people to the show is the hardest part. I just can never wait. I could imagine that point where you can just like, I'll just put on a show and people just come and then focus on the show.
What they don't tell you is that phrase, like, if you build it, they'll come. Yeah, they're lying.
It's an absolute lie. Counts for Ghost Baseball.
Yeah. But it's going to be, and then it's Sydney Comedy Festival. I'm only doing two shows. Mm. I'll quickly grab the dates. But they put me down as a fresh artist, which is really cool. So okay. I get, the bait, it doesn't really mean a lot.
So you've rorted the system.
I've rorted the system. I bribed the right person. And when is my dates? I mean, sorry, I should know this more than 18th and 19th of May.
Okay.
But it's at the Enmore Theatre, in the loft of the Enmore Theatre.
Oh, yeah.
And so that basically, it's only two shows. And by then, the show will be so good coming out of Melbourne. Really excited about it. So. Get down, check it out.
If you've ever seen Alex's show now, do it, because it's 100% one of those scenarios where in like a year it'll be, I saw Alex White. You know? It'll be like a before, you know.
Before he got famous for predicting movie plots on TikTok.
And check out the pod, it's so funny.
It's a great one.
Barry, where can people see our stuff?
They can follow us on Instagram if you'd like. You can also follow Community Notice Board on Instagram. We are Block Blunders on that, and you can... you can obviously rate the podcast wherever you're listening to it, on Apple Music, on Apple Pods, on Google Pods, on all the different podcast apps. Please leave us a rating. Tell friends about us. And what was the last thing we say? Oh, and if you've got a suggestion, which we're getting a lot more of, thankfully, thank you for emailing in.
Yeah.
You can email blockblunderspod@gmail.com. Or you can message us on Instagram. We take both.
Much like how Community Notice Board has had to expand its sort of remit, we're going to get into sort of more and more like obscure movies as we run out the really hard.
Yeah.
So if you've got like a movie that like you are a big fan of and you think is bizarre or you think isn't that well known, send it to us. We like a challenge. Send us an email and we're very keen to check it out.
Can I say as a podcast host, listeners? We love when you email in. It doesn't matter what.
Seriously.
I don't think people understand how excited you get as a podcast host when you get like...
When you're reminded that there's actual people.
I get downloads and you get numbers and that sounds great. But when someone says, hey, like if anyone ever comes up to you and says, hey, love the pod.
Yeah.
You're buzzing for a day.
I mean, Sanchez, thank you for emailing in.
So Sanchez, good on you.
Like, and even so kind of be like, yeah, I don't normally do this, but yeah, I like it. And you're like, I will go and tell everyone. It's
very, very rewarding.
Thanks, Sanchez, and sorry if you wanted to keep your name. You're on record, idiot, as a lover of the pod. Without any further adieu, only one thing we say to end the show. Alex, of course, knows what it is, being a repeat guest, so we'll just say it.
That's a movie.